right, our last case this morning is Columbus Bar Association versus John Joseph Peden, and for the respondent is Mr. Peden.
Chief Justice, Justices, I'll be very brief. I'm here before the court, not arguing the points of the findings, but to have the court consider whether or not my suspension should be a six-month or a indefinite suspension. And the basis I have for arguing that, Your Honor, is that I've been practicing law for 30 years. Other than a period of about 4 or 5 years towards the end here that things kind of got off track.
I can't hear you, sir. Would you speak into the microphone, please?
Thank you. That things kind of got off track, and that resulted in this, what's before the court now. I've had a pretty good law career and did a lot of good things for my clients and cases and handled them adequately. So I think that should have some consideration, and as such, I would ask the court to consider my suspension to be a six-month suspension, not an indefinite suspension. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Counsel?
Madam Chief Justice, members of the court, may it please the court, my name is Lisa Rice, and I'm here as counsel for the related the Columbus Bar Association. This case brings me no great joy in being here today, and I understand Mr. Peden's desire to change the recommendation of the panel to a six-month suspension. But there's 8 years of history with this case, and unfortunately, I don't think his recommendation at all falls within the guidelines or this court's precedent of where this case should end up. Relator has spent the last 8 years, hundreds of hours, investigating and prosecuting and, frankly, trying to rehabilitate John Peden. After three different hearings, the last panel found that the relator has proved by clear and convincing evidence that John Peden violated Ohio Rules of Professional Conduct 46 times. I will say in the early days of this case, we had a hearing in October of 2007, and myself, members of our subcommittee, Bar Counsel Bruce Campbell, really believed that Mr. Peden could be rehabilitated. We worked closely with OLAP at that time to work on his mental health issues. We met with him numerous times regarding his trust account, how to deal with trust accounts, practice management. We actually appointed a monitor in June of 2008 to address those same concerns. Again, there's no happy ending here. Less than a few days after the October 2007 hearing, we got another notice of default of his trust account, and notice after notice in 2007 and 2008 of trust account violations continued to occur. Even worse, we started a parade of client complaints: Plasteed, Colwell, Petrovsky, Nestle, and King, all basically citing the same pattern of misconduct by Mr. Peden. They would retain him to help them with a legal problem. He would take their money, a lot of times asking for cash over and over again. He would do little work on their case. He'd provide them with few billing statements, if any. He'd be completely unresponsive to their calls, their emails, and in the end, sometimes he'd make promises to repay, other times he'd simply ignore them, and none of these folks ever got repaid. To make matters worse, again, this court suspended him in 2009 for failing to pay the court costs related to the first hearing and the first prosecution. On the eve of his suspension, he literally abandoned two of his clients here. And again, to make matters further worse, and this was sort of shocking in some of our investigations, two of these clients, he actually begged for further checks or money to pay court costs. And not only that, they paid him. And then they were contacted by the various courts to say, hey, wait a second, your court cost check bounced. They had to cover the cost for the same check that he paid, or that they paid to him. He didn't even know about it, I don't think. Or if he did, he certainly never contacted them, and he's never made any restitution for those court costs either. Further insult to injury. Mr. Peden has practiced over the course of these proceedings without malpractice insurance and with no notice, written or otherwise, to these clients that he did not have malpractice insurance. And finally, the last point that we sought to prosecute him on was related to failure to cooperate. Again, we've been with him for 8 years. We've met with him numerous times trying to help him. And as we got further and further into this, again, and you will hear it in his statements, you'll hear it in the record, I was overwhelmed. I couldn't respond. He's literally paralyzed. And we have numerous instances where he failed to respond to inquiries we would make.
Counsel, what's the mental health component here?
I think, as the panel said, you can't help but recognize that that is an issue overlying this. And the first panel did find that it was a mitigating factor. He met the requirements of the GovBar rule.
And he engaged the services of OLAP?
That is correct. But I will say it has been very limited, and it's very instructive of sort of how he's conducted himself the last 8 years. Every time he's really in a pinch, eve before a hearing, eve before a deposition, he contacts OLAP again, maybe complies for a month or two, and then goes radio silent, in this case for a period of 2 years. Last summer was instructive. He finally got counsel to help him in June of last year. The panel hearing was continued a couple times to allow counsel to get up to speed. He recontacted OLAP for the first time in probably 2 years right before the hearing, started to be in compliance with them again, and by September, 2 months after the hearing, he's out of compliance again. And that was our basis to supplement the record in the hearing.
What about harm to the clients in terms of dollar amount of restitution owed as of today?
As of today, as we understand it, no restitution has been made, and we are looking at a dollar amount of about $11,500.
And that's been in outstanding since when?
Since, well, certainly since he took on the retainer. You know, these are April of 2009, November of 2008, November of 2009, March of 2009. But the panel ordered restitution in these amounts beginning in July of last year.
The actual loss occurred back in 2009.
Right. That's correct. I will say, in my previous experience with Mr. Peden, he had, in the first two cases, made restitution in our first case and then in the revocation piece that his probation was not revoked. And I do think the first panel found that a mitigating circumstance. Again, no restitution has been made here at all. Again, failure to respond. He did not respond to our inquiries, notwithstanding the fact that we asked for documents over and over again over the last 8 years. We basically got none in 5 years. And, you know, he blames his divorce and he blames his depression. And he says, well, the documents are in the basement of my ex-wife's house. And, you know, even one of the members of the panel said, well, you know, did you ask for a court order to get the documents? No, I did not do that. He always has an excuse and yet can't do anything self-help-wise to get done what he needs to get done to respond and deal with these issues. So again, whatever his reason, his own health problems, at one point his daughter had a health problem, his divorce, his depression, Mr. Peden cannot function at this point as a competent ethical lawyer. He's paralyzed, and I mean that literally, paralyzed in both his practice and, as far as we can tell, in his own life, which makes us really sad. As it stands now, he is a danger to his clients. He cannot be trusted to properly represent them or to properly maintain or use their funds. So therefore, the Columbus Bar Association is seeking indefinite suspension from the practice of law with reinstatement with the onerous conditions that the panel put on this.
Can you go over the discipline history? There was a six-month suspension. When was that?
That was the first hearing was in 2007. This court came down in May of 2008 with a six-month suspension stayed, and that's kind of where it was left. Soon after, frankly, before the court even came down in May, we started to see again this pattern of misconduct. So in November of 2008, about 6 months after the first decision, we filed a motion to revoke. Because of the timing of when the misconduct happened versus this court's decision in May of 2008, the panel on the revocation was unwilling to revoke, saying that the conduct before the probation wasn't relevant to that decision. And so probation was not revoked at that time. But again, in the meantime, we continue to get this parade of clients coming in saying basically the same thing. He's taking our money. He's not doing anything. He won't give it back.
So he's never had an actual suspension?
He's never been actually suspended. Well, I shouldn't say that. He's had several CLE suspensions and several registration suspensions. I think he's currently under CLE suspension right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Let me address one thing that the panel suggested in their opinion. they suggested, why didn't we ask for permanent disbarment here? And I think there are cases that certainly would support that. I would say that for two reasons. And again, I have known Mr. Peden now for 8 years, have been with him a number of times. I don't think Mr. Peden is evil. I really do distinguish him from other lawyers that I have seen that they take clients to steal their money. I don't think Mr. Peden is doing that. I think he is in such financial distress, such paralysis in the ability to function, that he just makes poor decisions over and over again. I think he has every intent of representing his clients well. I think he has every intent of paying back money, probably these folks' money if he could, but he can't at this point. Second, I would recognize the same thing. I think respondent did have a 25-year practice where he practiced without issue. Something happened 8 years ago, again, whether it was his health, his daughter's health, his divorce, a number of things. They don't certainly justify what he has done, but we would certainly say that we have advocated for indefinite suspension because of those two things. Again, with the conditions imposed by the panel or suggested by the panel, which may, for all intents and purposes, be a final suspension for him. I don't think he can practice. Certainly he can't practice law now. I've seen very little progress in the last 8 years. Frankly, I don't know if he will ever be able to meet the conditions the panel has suggested. At this point, he's a danger to clients. He shouldn't be practicing. I don't know if he ever will be able to ethically do so again. But I would say that the Columbus Bar Association is willing to leave that window of possibility open that maybe at some point in the future he could. But we certainly defer to this court to determine the appropriate sanction in this case. So,
counsel, do you know if the respondent is currently involved with OLAP on a contract basis and what the conditions are?
He signed another contract right before last summer's hearing. And as we understand it from OLAP, in September, he fell out of compliance with that again. They were very similar to the conditions before. He was meeting with a physician the first time round regularly. Those things sort of stopped, but I don't think he's been in contact with them enough for them to be able to really determine what the root causes are and what needs to be done. So I don't believe he's still in compliance.
Thank you.
So, again, the CBA respectfully requests that the court reject respondents' objections, find against the respondent, affirm the panel's recommendation of an indefinite suspension with the conditions imposed. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Peden.
Simply, Your Honor, I may have been out of compliance with OLAP for about two weeks or so, but I've been in total compliance since then. So I've been in contact with them daily. I report in.
You've been in contact with him daily since September of 2011?
Correct.
Have you in any way generated a report or a recommendation from them to be utilized in this case?
I can't. I didn't bring it with me today. I can have them give the court my contact history.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. All right, we will take the matter under advisement, and you'll be notified of our decision on this matter. Marshall, will you please adjourn court?
Thank you.